Good, good. Hello. Is it me? Hello.
Check.
There we go. I had it turned off. All kinds of people had showed up. This makes me think of pictures we see of the United Nations. Oh, how many nations are there in the United Nations? Anybody know? Me neither, I didn't research it. But there's lots of them. Okay? And they're all sitting there with something like this on. Because when they speak, and when they have something in your ear, they have an interpreter. Still today, 2,000 years later, some 2,000 years later, still using interpreters. But on this day, the power of God was given to those people so they didn't have to have an interpreter. I don't know about you, but that's amazing. I stand amazed. I couldn't decide when I sent a message off. I'm not for sure. I had two or three different things, but this morning, I stand amazed. Whoop, look at that. Don't feel bad, brother. Don't feel bad. I stand amazed, and I hope this morning as we look at our lesson titled, I Stand Amazed, that we too can stand amazed together. How great Jesus is and the things He's done for us. And you may ask, well, Don, why did you bring this lesson to light today? Well, Friday, Brother Tony's going to get a kick out of this. Some of you will too. Friday, I got an email that said, Don, your company truck's ready for you to come pick up. That's part of the package and provisions our company provides me with a company truck. And I went and picked it up Friday afternoon. Kelly took me down there. And there sits an F-150. I stood amazed. For those of you that don't know, for years and years I had Chevrolets. Some of you don't know that. And now I've had Dodges for multiple years. And now I'm not an owner, but I am a driver of a Ford F-150. It's parked right next to your truck, Tony. So. And I think to myself, no way in the world would I ever consider this. This wasn't me. This wasn't in my mindset. I had no desire to even stop at a Ford dealership. But I stood amazed. I got in there, looked at everything, hooked my phone up so I'm driving safe, and drove home. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm kind of excited about this. This is only 2014. Whenever I knew it's a lease left over, they buy and give it to us. Now, I'm excited about a used truck. I haven't bought a used truck since I was way before Kelly and I. I didn't buy a used truck since I've been married to Kelly. I'm excited about it. It's a Ford, and I'm excited about it. I'm thankful for it. A Ford. I stood amazed. And I thought about those things, you know, and only, you know, to me, Jesus would say, okay, Don. You need to be amazed. You need to be humbled. You need to change. And when we stand amazed, and I stand amazed at the Master's feet, folks, that's what happens to us. We're humbled. And we think things and do things, and our hearts change in ways we would never imagine. And I'd like for us to look at some passages this morning where people were amazed in the Bible when they came in contact with Jesus. I plead with us to apply these to our lives and think about what Jesus has done individually to each and one of our lives. So we still stand amazed. Or we stand amazed anew. Or something happens this week, folks, and you're amazed. And you're amazed and you're reminded by Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit about things that happen in our life. Twice in the passage this morning, they were all amazed and they marveled. And so they are all amazed and perplexed. Whatever could this mean? All kinds of people from all kinds of nations. You know, it's tough for us to be amazed in our world. I don't know about you. You know, you watch. I've never seen a Star Wars movie, okay? But each time it comes out, I hear about it at work, and everybody's amazed, and everybody's excited, and that's not what I expected. Or you see, you know, I like Bourne supremacy, so, you know, when I watch another Jason Bourne movie, you know, what am I, you know? Am I amazed at what he can do? Well, he did that in the last movie. Just different people, different place. Fell in love with somebody different. Hollywood has made it hard for us. Television has made it hard for us to be amazed in our lives. Can you imagine being a fisherman 2,000 years ago and seeing what Jesus did? I bring this lesson up for me this morning also that I need to continually remember how amazing Jesus is. His power, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His sacrifice for us. Now when they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the regions of Galilee. And they were all amazed. You know what we're all amazed about this morning, folks, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends? If it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would be here. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't know Brother Joe. Sister, old Brother Bob. Wouldn't know him. If it wasn't for Jesus and my faith in him, I wouldn't have been at worship service and met my lovely wife. We take for granted the amazement that Jesus brings to our lives, that God brings to our lives, just as they did here. Jesus still has the power to chase evil away and out of our lives. Jesus still has the power today to astonish us with his teachings. Jesus still says to us, sometimes in our lives, be quiet, repent. Stay away from the devil. Satan, get behind me. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So they had broken through, and they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Then Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately
Then Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. And he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and he went out of the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Even today, folks, 2,000 years later, nobody can come up and say a word and somebody gets up from being seriously sick. Just not going to happen. And we should still be amazed 2,000 years later that Jesus did this. You know what's amazing to me? What about the friends of this paralytic person? What about the faith of this? How would you like to be sitting in a room in a house, okay? Let's just say I invite you all over for Sunday dinner and you're all over my house and we're sitting there eating and we're talking about the Bible and all of a sudden somebody starts tinking on the roof. Then a saw goes in, maybe it's a chainsaw. I mean, that's a big hole in the roof in today's world. Cuts that hole in the roof and lowers somebody down in front of us. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? It was weird for them to do that in Jesus' time. I watched Brother Luke gave me the book of Luke on video, and I was watching it yesterday morning, as I do often on Saturday mornings, watch one of the Gospels or part of the Gospels. And it had that scene of them lowering that down. And it shows Jesus looking at it, you know, and I'm thinking, all those people had to be amazed. All the amazement that went on during this situation. The most amazing thing was that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. That Jesus healed somebody. I think it's amazing that they let him down on the roof. And let him, now, how would you feel if somebody did that in my house? Stop! Stop! Don't mess with my house. Maybe that happened. We don't know. It wasn't recorded. Maybe everybody was just so amazed to be in the presence of Jesus that no matter what happened, things were good. That's how I feel this morning. No matter what happens to me today, I'm in the presence of Jesus. I'm in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all good. I had to drive forward to worship this morning. It's all good. I like it, by the way, just to let you know. Who'd know, huh? Jesus today still is amazing because he's the only power that has to forgive sins, his blood, in our lives, folks. Now, we can forgive each other, and we can forgive each other of sins, but when it comes to us and God, Jesus is the only advocate in our lives. Is he pleading with us this morning in our lives to give up sin, to be healed, to become a Christian? Mark chapter 6, it's written, immediately he made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side, the Bethsaida. While he sent out the multitude away and he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea. And he was alone on the land, and he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night he came in. He came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. And when he saw them walking, when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up to the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and were marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. They were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Folks, there's some times in my life where I know it had to be nothing but the power of God working. 30 years later, I'm still married to my wonderful wife. Power of God. His words in my life. Meeting her, how I met her at worship service. The preacher and his wife inviting us over on Sunday night after service to eat. The preacher's wife saying, "Don, will you come in here and help make this salad?" And there's Kelly making the salad. So I come in and help make salad. Little did she know that I was, you know, Chef Don back then. Just kidding. Be of good cheer, as I do not be afraid, folks. We need to be amazed still in our lives. When things happen to us and we are dismayed, that Jesus' words say, "Be of good cheer, do not be afraid, it is I." We need to be amazed that he's still there, standing beside us. And you know, I don't know how he does that and how God does that, but they promised that, and that's the word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, "I'm always with you." And how can you be with Don? And then he's going to be with Kelly. He's going to be with Greg. I don't know. I'm amazed. But his word says he is there. He's there with each and every one of us. How does God know the hairs of our head that are measured? Don't know, but he said that. I believe that. How does God know all these little individual things about millions of people? I don't know. He's God. I trust him. I love him. I appreciate him. I stand amazed how great he is. I don't know. I missed a slide, so I'm going to pull up. See, I got it in writing, too. You guys are familiar with this. I wish I didn't have to have glasses, but you know what? When you get old, things change. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. For me it wasn't a garden, he prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat, drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. And he bore the burden of Calvary and suffered, and died alone. When with the ransom and glorious face at last I shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. It reminds me to question myself, when's the last time I've been singing to Jesus? When's the last time I'm so thankful for his grace and mercy? Hopefully, folks, it was when we gathered around the table this morning. Jesus was amazing still when he was just about 12 or 13 years old, as written in this passage. Luke chapter 2, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statements which he spoke to them. They were amazed. Mary and Joseph, you want to talk about some amazing people. Two amazing people, Mary and Joseph. Be a good lesson probably one of these days. Amazing, amazing people in the history. You know, we talk about the apostles and the disciples and the prophets and the kings. Mary and Joseph. Can you imagine them experience raising Jesus? Can you imagine having the Holy Spirit and the angel Gabriel speaking to you directly? Can you imagine seeing baby Jesus? Holding baby Jesus. I held my grandson. I got to spend some time, you know, we're keeping him. It's just, it amazes me the new life and how God allows it to happen. But for Joseph and Mary to be amazed that he was in the temple. That's the kind of amazement, folks, that we should be giving our brothers and sisters and our family members. They're amazed. Some of my brothers and sisters and friends are amazed that I am a servant of the Most High God. Some of them are amazed that I continue to come back every first day of the week. That's the type of amazement we should be giving our family members, folks. They're not amazed when we don't go. Okay? They're not amazed when we sin in front of them. They're not amazed. They're like, "Satan, aha, gotcha." Jesus didn't come to bring "I gotchas." He came to amaze us with his love and his power and his forgiveness. He came to seek that which was lost. We, like Jesus, can amaze those around as we are doing what Jesus said. "I'm about my Father's business." Are we about our Father's business? Now it happened on the next day when they had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implore your disciples to cast it out," but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. It was good for him to go to the disciples to look for help. But the true help he really needed was Jesus. There's going to be things that we amaze each other about, folks. And it's good for us to come together. Multiple passages tell us the benefit of confessing to one another, singing to one another, praying for one another. But just like in this instance, folks, the amazement didn't come until Jesus is involved. And that's the same thing with our lives. If you're looking for something that only Jesus can provide in your spouse, you're going to miss that amazement. If you're looking something from your employer or from a politician or from a law
or from a family member of some type, you're not going to get it, because only Jesus can provide that healing, that amazement, that majesty of God. How often do we use the word implore? Teacher, I implore you. Jesus, I plead with you. Jesus, I strongly request. Jesus, I need you in my life. No matter what the cost, no matter what I have to do, I need you in my life. I need your help. I need your help with sin. I need your help with family members that are struggling. I need your help at work. I need your help when I go out in public. I need to stand amazed no matter where I'm at, following you. Do you stand amazed this morning about Jesus of Nazareth? These passages of scripture we looked at this morning, they amaze me. They remind me how amazed we should be in following him. If you're not a child of God this morning, we implore you to make that step, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or, there's no better time now than to continue your walk of faith by asking Jesus for him to amaze you in your life this week. We offer that invitation as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.